episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Hello, BG.
G'day, g'day.
G'day, g'day, everybody. Midweek. Midweek. Can you believe it?
It's Tuesday for me, though.
Happy hump.
So far behind.
Yeah. Happy hump. Yeah. So, coast to coast, we are doing a midweek show because I will be away this weekend. So
under a full blood moon.
Yes.
For me.
Yeah. We just had the red moon as well. Can you believe it? All right. Well, let's get on the on with the show. So it is 8th of the 10th, 2025. You're on Coast to Coast with Beachy and Verilicious. Truthmeets.com. Hello, everybody.
We're back.
Everyone see the red moon? Did everyone get the full moon? Yes. Yeah, very interesting. I was talking to you before about it, Beachy. We got the red sunrise. Well, I should say the red sun sunrise. And then we got the blood red moon, the full moon, at that evening as well. So this was all yesterday. But we are surrounded by Queensland has quite a few bushfires happening at the moment. So we've had this continuous like fog over the water and then haze. And it's super weird because they also, I don't know whether or not they're also spraying the skies as well. So we've got a combination of the bushfire smoke, the sea mist, the clouds, everything's happening. Yeah. But everybody was out yesterday in the evening to watch the moon rise, and it was really beautiful. It started off bright, like real deep red color, and then as it rose, it became into like a more like an orange, like a, I'll say the color of like the orange pumpkin. It's very fitting for this month.
It's Halloween. Yeah,
but it was really beautiful. It really was. I think there's quite a few people that had some good photos from yesterday as well. But this morning I missed the sunrise this morning. I did get up at, I was out there at the beach from 7 a.m. and then I was sort of around till at least 10 a.m. this morning. And it was really beautiful though. The water became like a real crystal clear, sort of a bluey green color. And then the whales are still out there, which is really nice to see. And very few tourists. So school holidays are finished for Queensland. So we only have very few tourists left. So it was actually nice. And we took the dog out in his little car. Loved it. Was loved getting pats from everyone. And, yeah, he's like the star of his own show. But he loves it. Loves life. Yeah. So, Beachy, what's our topic today? I thought we could do something a little bit regal, very royal, considering that we had just had the King's birthday here in Queensland. And you were watching The Crown not too long ago as well.
Well, I did have a whole show I was going to do on that, and I've got a few notes here, but I think I have just a smidgen of them because I'm sure I had way more. But there's been so much that's happened. The TV show is, you know, basically probably with what they wanted to let out there, which the English people just love it for some reason. I don't know. How do you guys feel? Let's start with, what is your perception of the whole royalty thing as a quote unquote subject? Even though I'm sure we're subjects too, but
we are subjects of the monarch. Yes. You know, I think throughout time we've always had kings and queens, but for me, it's always, I mean, I don't really follow the royal family. There was a time, I think Princess Diana, she just was in the news all the time. She was one of the, what they called the people's princess. And a lot of people fell in love with her. And I think we all did, because she was on TV quite a fair bit. She was doing her, charities. She was also very fashionable, which, you know, which was great because a lot of designers, really wanted to dress her, and she had a really good style. And I think the other one that had a really good style was, I think it was I think she was princess back then too, Rania of Jordan. She was very, very stylish. I think she made the fashion news by being the first in her, oh, what's their Middle Eastern women.
Jordan's a Hashemite kingdom.
I've got D-Train yelling at me. Jordan is a Hashemite kingdom. But she was the first to wear pants, long pants, which was a big no-no in their part of the world. But I did love, going back to Princess Diana, I watched that TV series with her in it. Not series. It was a TV show or a movie. Was it called Spencer or something? About her life, right up until, because she had met a doctor. This was before Dodie, I think. So, but it was her life. And I think it was Naomi Watts that played her as a character, like played her. And I actually thought it was a really good, I think it was like a little mini movie series or something. And I watched it and I liked it. I thought it was good. I think they portrayed her really well in that. But once again, I mean, it is all entertainment. And then every time we see things about the royal family, you kind of got to take it in the entertaining way, you know, because I don't know how else people are going to take it, but there's so many people that love them, you know?
Well, absolutely. I think that's their, ultimately, that's their role. I mean, like you said, you know, the fashion designers are selling, you know, the things that they wear because they make them popular. I mean, I remember when Diana got the sapphire engagement ring, that was like, oh my God, everybody had to go out and get a sapphire, you know? I mean, it was kind of nuts, right? So it was kind
very
of like
popular style.
Their marketing agents at minimum, to truth be told, propaganda, you know, marketing. I mean, they are, well, according to the, you know, the show like The Crown that I was watching, it was like the way they portrayed it was, you know, they had to keep, you know, their appearances up, so to speak, you know, even though the prince, what's his name? Prince Philip, he was out dogging around all the time. The queen knew it. And her biggest issue with the whole thing was when it became, you know, public. It was public humiliation for her. Of course, she was not going to be happy about that. And they even had an episode where she, you know, pretty much said, you know, they can't ever get a divorce. So, that's never going to happen. So if you're going to do your shit, you know, you just keep it, you know, on the down low. And
on the down low, yeah.
Yeah, don't let it get into the newspapers. That was kind of, you know, they lived kind of really, they showed they lived very separate lives. You know, they intimated he was always out, gone somewhere, whatever, who knows what he was doing. They never really said. I mean, here and there, I mean, every now and then, yeah, he'd get into trouble and there would be some little scandal, but, you know, they quickly, you know, they had people to take care of it. So,
yeah,
it was very much.
Do you think he did that because he had to give up his role? Because he was in line as well, because he was a prince.
Yeah, he couldn't be a king.
He was Greek. He was Greek,
the king, right?
Yeah.
Well,
so if he married, because I mean, come on, they must have. I'm hoping I'm going to play a love story with them that they at one stage they did maybe like fall in love. But was it all for business? Because we know, like with the royals, it can be. I mean, purely entertainment or not. But we, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing. You know, yeah, they kind of intimated again in the book and in the movie. You know, or the Crown series, they intimated that yes, she fell in love with him when she was like 13 years old and he was 18 but they're cousins. I mean, for fuck's sake, it's so incestual. I mean, these people are, it's a laughable, you know, because again, the whole thing
was
about
to keep
him,
the bloodline, you think?
He was not Greek. Let's just put it this way. He's German.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Truthmeets.com. You're with Beachy and Verilicious, and it is 8th of the 10th, 2025. And Beachy is getting up her goat about this prince.
Well, because they constantly are... Okay, so you got to remember, you know, Queen Elizabeth was, she was in her heyday during the war, and it was all about Germans bad, Germans are bad. And they are all Germans. The Windsors, they changed their name. They were Saxe Gotha. They were all Germans. And again, they were always dogging on Miss Prince Philip about, oh, he was so... You know, this, that, and the other thing, you know, not of the proper, you know, bloodline or whatever. But his own mother was born in the castle. She was a granddaughter of Queen Victoria. So, I mean.
Yes. Didn't we establish this in one of our talks?
Yes, they're all connected.
Yes, Queen Victoria, that they were all related.
Yes.
Down the line.
She had many royal grandchildren of Europe. That's what they said about her, that she was the grandmother of the European aristocracy. But yeah, so Prince Philip's mother, I think she was Russian, I believe. And his father was German. And for some reason, his grandfather was the king of Greece. I don't know how that came to pass. You know, I haven't gone that far back, but basically they were in Greece. And when Greece had a, you know, they overthrew them, they said, you know, GTFO people, you're not our king. And so they got exiled when his mother and father and himself when he was a very young child. And he had four sisters, older sisters, and they all fled to Germany because that's where their ancestors were. And they were always making these jokes about how they were, his sisters married Nazi generals. It's like, yeah, well, she was German too. I mean, it's hilarious when you follow their thing. But anyway, so the mother was, like I said, I can't remember who her parents were, but there was a lineage to Russia, and then the other part was Victoria. And they put her in a mental institution when he was little. So he went to live with his uncle Mountbatten, who was also Elizabeth's uncle. So anyway, so she fell in love with him at a family wedding when she was 13, and that's who she decided she was going to marry. And even though later on in the series, when they were talking about Charles and Camilla and their, because, you know, they knew that they were an item way before Diana ever came into the picture, but they did not, you know, the parents of Camilla and the Queen and, you know, a couple other, you know, whoever their other relatives, they were all like, no, we don't want that to happen. We don't want, we need somebody to make the bloodline stronger. So that's why they had already picked out Diana's older sister. And that was the story too, that she was supposed to be hooked up with Charles. But she said, no, I don't, you know.
Oh, I did hear about that.
And so then Charles, you know, they're all, like you said, they were all socially connected. They would all go to their social parties and, you know, do their thing as young people, of course. And this older sister, he had come to see the older sister because they kept telling him, you know, you got to go, you know, court her. And then Diana was the younger sister, and she kind of just would talk to him because the older sister was like, she was, you know, she was trying to get away from the whole situation. But anyway, long story short, you know, eventually I think grandma said, you know, you gotta pick this one. And so, and like I said, he was all involved with Camilla at the time. And they said, nope, we don't want them to get married. That's not going to happen. And, you know, you're going to marry the other one. So they knew that was the situation. And they still went ahead with it. You know, they put all that. And of course, in the series, they, you know, made Charles, oh, he's poor Charles. He can't be with, you know, the woman he loves. And, you know, it was all very soap opera-y. You know, everybody was not happy. And, you know, Margaret, the aunt, she was a head case. They were always, you know, watching her because she was, you know, she couldn't marry who she wanted to marry when she was young either. And so she was always complaining about that. And then she finally got married to some guy who kind of was a runaround guy. And so he was out running around. I mean, yeah, soap opera. It was all big soap opera.
Yeah.
But
it was like their whole life, even though, I mean, we don't know how closely this show was, but I kind of feel that sometimes it is because.
Well, yeah, the whole way,
when you look at the media, and then when you actually watch those, you know, reenactments of their life and those stories, you kind of feel like, I kind of think they're telling a little bit of the truth, but maybe they've just, you know, made it more entertaining.
Yeah, they make you feel sorry for them that they, you know, they can't do what they want. The priest or the government, you know, they got to ask permission. And, you know, because like that was like, you know, you were talking about how Prince Philip didn't get a higher designation of prince because he wanted. I mean, again, this is all from the story. Who knows if he really did or he wanted her to take the children to take his name, you know, because he was. What was his name? Some German name, I think. And no, the kids have to get Windsor, you know, even though that was their made up name, because, you know, that really wasn't.
I thought it initially was Mountbatten, wasn't it?
Well, Hanover was Mountbatten. You mean Philip? Yeah, it might have been Mountbatten or something along, you know, it was a German name. And the kids couldn't have that name. And of course, Elizabeth wasn't going to take that name. And it was a whole big thing about how he was so upset that, you know, he couldn't have any say in his family, which, you know, as a man, you want to have, you know, you're the man, right? And he had no say in any of it. And I think that was probably, part of his issues of, you know, he would run around and just go do whatever he wanted to, because it was like, well, fuck, I don't get a say in any of this. I don't get to, you know, make any decisions for, you know, like, of course, like when they were remodeling the place or, you know, and he didn't have any duties as, you know, to help her do what she was supposed to do. So, I mean, it was just really bizarre, the whole thing. Like, he just was supposed to, you know, hang out and be pretty. Mm. And that was, I think, a source of their issues. But anyway, like you said, that was the whole theme, was that, you know, even though you got these, you know, huge titles and everybody looks up to you and you're the fucking queen, you really don't have a say in your own personal life, even, like, and you got to be here and you got to be there and you got to do this and you got to do that. And
yeah, because she pretty much had to start really young too, after her father.
She was very young. Exactly.
Abdicated on the throne. She it was her. She was like 20 something.
Yeah. So and there was
20, really young.
There was a very interesting scene between her and her uncle who abdicated, because, you know, the uncle Edward who abdicated was the reason her father became king. And, you know, Edward was supposed to be the king, but he abdicated because because he was marrying this divorcee from America, and, you know, oh, we can't do that. You know, if you want to be king, you can't, you know, have this divorced, you know, we got to keep up appearances. You got to bring some fresh virgin in, and, you know, she's got to be the right bloodline. And he's like, no, I want this woman. And he said, okay, I'm going to give up my kinghood then. And so that's when he abdicated. That's when her father became king. And so, and they all were saying, oh, it's his fault, because he died very young. That's, you know, why she had to step up. And they always said that, oh, it's because he had to be king, and he, you know, he wasn't supposed to be king, and that killed him. And so they blamed the uncle, and they were always, you know, very nasty to him, and he couldn't come back to the castle. They would never invite him to any of their parties. He was just outcast. It's like, you, okay, you gave up your kinghood, you gave up your whole family, yeah, right, for your woman. And so that was like a running theme again, that they all hated him. And like you said, there was a scene where she was talking to him, and you know, she was bitching at him about because he came to ask her to do something for him, like get more money or something like that. Because, you know, he got cut off of all his funds, and he was always saying he needed more money and they should give him more money. You know, that whole thing was kind of kind of sad. But anyway, she kind of got mad at him and told him, well, you never said, you know, apologize to me for abdicating the throne, and now I have to be queen. And like, you know, it was a...
Yeah, because becoming a curse. Queen... Yeah, yeah, because that is her whole life. Because first and foremost, she had to become the queen. I did watch like some of The Crown, the first season, I think it was, and it's like really interesting. And I was trying to reference it back to the real life events of her as well, and it's really interesting that she is like, her father was Prince Albert, but her mother was Lady Elizabeth Bowes Lyon. But yeah, she was as a child of the younger son of King George V. Young Elizabeth had the prospect of acceding to the throne until her uncle Edward VIII abdicated in her father's favour, and that was in 1936, in which time her father became King George VI, and then she became heir to that. So she straight away had to obviously start the princess education of becoming a queen. And that was shown in the series as well.
Yeah, that
of
was
her having to do that as well.
Mm. That and was interesting. Got, yeah,
yeah,
about her studies. She would ask the professor because some guy would come and tutor her. And she, he would basically tutor her on political things and constitutional things. And she's like, well, why can't I learn about science or math? And he's like, I'm not, that's not in my,
it's not in the, schedule.
syllabus here. It's like, you're supposed to learn these things and only that, you don't get to learn about life outside of the castle, basically. It almost sounded like. So, you got to learn about how to, entertain dignitaries and, leaders and what the table setting is supposed to be looking like and how the receiving line and who you shake hands with, all that stuff. So it's very, duty. It's all about duty. This is your duty. It's that is, I think, mentioned in almost every single episode. You got to do your duty.
Yeah, that's right. Her duty always came first. But I was just having a look with Prince Philip. And how we were just saying he was actually born in Greece.
Yeah, because his grandfather was the king at that time. And then his father was supposed to take over, but like I said, they ran him out before.
So he actually
killed the dad. I think they actually killed the grandfather, as part of the revolution or the riots or whatever. And they ran the other ones. So they all had to leave because otherwise they would have killed them too. It was very,
well, he became, what did he become? He was a naval officer, wasn't he? He became a commander. Prince Andrew of Greece and Denmark, that was his father.
Yeah.
And he was the younger son of King George I, who was originally, so his father's name was originally William of Denmark. Mother was Princess Alice, and she was the oldest daughter of Louis Alexander Mountbatten. So that sounds French, though, doesn't it?
Actually, Mountbatten is German.
Yeah, Louis Alexander. Mm. So that's if you look into their history, they're so intertwined. It's not funny. Like, it's just crazy. So what did they have? So he took on the mother's surname. If not, his surname or the queen's name would the royal family had it been with Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth. If Prince Philip had taken on his actual family name, father's family name, it was Schleswig Holstein Sonderburg Glucksberg. What? That is a big long name. And it's hyphenated too. Yeah. I need a German person to actually say this. This is awesome. Elizabeth was his distant cousin. Mm. So that was interesting. So he took on his mother's.
It wasn't that
surname,
distant.
Which is Mountbatten. Yeah, exactly.
Like you said, if not, Mr. Mountbatten.
How long have
they been
living? Say again? Schleswig Holstein Sonderburg Glucksberg. I think Mountbatten sounds more professional.
Well, there was Lord Mountbatten who was Elizabeth's uncle, like you said, and he was always around. He had duties, so to speak. He was some sort of diplomat or something like that. I don't know, in the government. And like you said, they never said anything about a wife, though. I don't know, you know, there was not much about his family or his children. So I don't know, you know, exactly like why he was chosen, but there were, like you said, his sisters, Prince Philip's sisters, who went to Germany, and, you know, they married German generals, and they were kind of, you know, part of that.
Because it was all during the war as well. Yeah, so they were all in the military. Yeah, or at least the naval side.
Well, they were.
It's
like,
interesting that their names, the king's names, all revolved around George, Edward, you know, and it's like that's how they would have to change their name.
Yeah, well, they were, because it was generals, and they were not really. They were not really soldiers. I mean, they were just given titles and, you know, to pretend that they were doing something, but they were never in any danger or anything to combat any hand, you know.
Yeah. But it's interesting that they changed their names, though, in that sense, because we'll find out soon.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Truthmeets.com, you're on Coast to Coast with Beachy and Verilicious. And we're just trying to find out the names. Like, so Elizabeth's father, his name was Prince Albert before he became King George the VI. So they changed the names.
Yeah, they
don't have surnames after that. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess they take a name of a previous king for, I don't know, it's some sort of.
Well, don't forget, Prince Philip's father was George as well. Right. If I was to go back and have a look,
I don't remember. All I remember, he was always just called.
He was
Lord
King George
Mountbatten. Lord. Yeah. He was a lord.
Yeah. Well, because Prince Philip's father was King George the First of Hellenes. He was originally Prince William of Denmark, so his father changed his name. And then if I go back and have a look at Queen Elizabeth, her father was Prince Albert, who became King George the Fifth. Mm. They're all intertwined. Da, da, da. No wonder you can't, like, get a true sense of, like, where everyone comes from, because I feel like they're just all blended into one family.
Yeah, like I said, and they changed their names, even their last names. I mean, they have changed their names like almost every generation, you know, and not necessarily their, you know, because like even Charles, like they call him, what is he? The Prince of Wales, that he was dubbed the Prince of Wales, which, you know, when he was younger. And I don't know if, you know, that gets passed down to one of the boys or, you know, William or Harry.
Well, they were known as the Wales, the boys. I mean, that they took on that surname when they were through school.
Did they? Oh, wow.
Mm. So they took on this, So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Prince Charles.
Yeah, so they had
was
a whole
named Prince of Wales in July 1958.
Yeah, he got that when he was pretty
then
young.
Yeah, so for all the children, they were created the Wessex. So you had the Earl of Wessex and the Viscount Severn. But all the children from Queen Elizabeth had the surname, in quotation marks, of Windsor. But then she decided to hyphenate the name to Mountbatten Windsor for other descendants who are not styled in Prince or Princess and Royal Highness. Okay.
Well, that's interesting.
Because I don't think her first grandchild, which was Princess Anne's son, let me have a look if I can find about Princess Anne. I don't think he's got a royal title.
Well, and then there's...
It was her sister, Princess Anne. Let me have a look. I was just trying to find her children. Do you have his children there? Who did she marry? Mark Phillips. Oh, he was already... Oh, in the series, wasn't he already married to someone else and she caught his eye? Or was that Margaret?
Okay. No, here's the story. Here's the story. Okay. Again, it's soap opera. So Camilla was dating this gentleman, Parker Bowles, the guy that she eventually married. So when they were dating, she kind of, it was weird because they had, her and Parker Bowles, they were kind of like, you know, off and on. They were kind of, you know, he was kind of he would run around a lot. So she kind of was like, eh. You know, and so then she hooked up with Charles, and, you know, and I don't think she was initially like that hot on him. She was just, I think it was just the, you know, because he could someday be king. It was that kind of a thing where she was just enthralled by that, you know, opportunity, I guess you could say. Well, then, the sister Anne, she was like a couple years younger than Charles. She got into Mr. Parker Bowles. So they were having it going at it for a while. And then, you know, of course, Camilla found out about it. And of course, Parker or the sister was totally wanting to break them up because she wanted that guy. Well, you know, eventually, like I said, you know, the parents got together and they wanted Parker Bowles and Camilla to get married. So that was kind of their arrangement. And so they told her she needed to marry him. And she, like I said, I think she was really into him, but she, you know, he was such a runaround. So she was fine with that. She, you know, I think she was, you know, that was not a big issue. But then, after they got married, of course, it was still the same. He was running around and, you know, but yet they still had like, I don't know how many children.
Yeah.
But she still was like, you know, having, I don't know if they were actually doing anything or they were just close, you know, him and, or her and Charles. I mean, like you said, in the movie, they kind of made it sound like they were just keeping in contact. Right, exactly. They kept it, but then, you know, you remember the big, you know, nasty that came out after, you know, Diana and him were married, and, you know, there was just so much scandal between, you know, because Diana was like finding out that she was, you know, just kind of not really his cup of tea, you know. There was just so many love triangles, you know. Everybody wanted somebody else, right?
Well, I actually think they are all interrelated, right? Because if you have a look at Princess Diana's mother, her name was Frances Ruth Shand, Shand Kidd. She was previously Spencer and Roche, right? So her name, Frances Ruth Shand, remember that. Now, if I go and have a look at who is Camilla Parker Bowles, she was born Camilla Rosemary Shand. Do you not think that maybe her and Diana's mother are related with the same surname, Shand?
Yes. Well, yeah, they are all, like I said, they all are cousins or branches. And, you know, like you said, but they all sit down and they decide, okay, well, what's going to make, you know, a better, I don't know what their formula is, but they all sit around and decide, okay, who's going to marry who and whose child is going to go with that child. But, you know, and here's the scuttle in recent times. They have been saying, because, you know, remember all the thing about how Harry, that they were, you know, they were suspect that Harry was not Charles' son, it was somebody else's, and, you know, all that gossip. Well, apparently now the big gossip is that one of Camilla's daughters was actually Charles' daughter. And so it was, you know, she was like stirring up a big pot that, well, you know, she should be in line for the kinghood or whatever, the queenhood. Yeah. And, you know, who knows? I mean, like you said, it's, there's so much, you know, going on with them. It could, you know, but then they also said they did DNA tests and Charles, you know, or Harry, they said, oh, you know, yeah, they finally did a good DNA test and they, you know, he's legit, right? It's like, okay, are you telling me that they just barely did, because they just did this like in 2017, like they didn't have good DNA tests until, you know, 2017 or 18, something like that. And, you know, to verify that that was Charles' son. I mean, it's just so funny. I mean, it's, who knows? It could be true. It could, may not be true, but there's so much jockeying. All these people are constantly jockeying for, you know, who's got the higher position. So it's all through history, you know, they're always knocking each other off so that they could be in better position for the head cheese.
But it was interesting though, because they were, like, Diana's family were Sussexes, I believe. The dad was an Earl. And guess where Queen Camilla, where Camilla comes from? She was a Sussex as well. So there, and I've just did a quick a search on them. So Camilla and Frances, who is Diana's mother, they're relatives. So they are related. But they have their ties to the British aristocracy. So it's, you know what, it's almost like, you know when people say arranged marriage doesn't happen anymore and it's all a thing of the past and it's so old-fashioned and this and that? I think so. Yeah. I think this still happens with the royal family. I think that's what makes it more intriguing if you do the deep dive into them. And then when you start watching the any of those telemovies or series like The Crown and so forth, it sort of really gets you hooked into it and you're like, you want to deep dive into like what their background is. You know what I mean? It's like, is that really true? Was that true? Come on.
Well, you know, you could go really deep too, because I've seen, you know, people who do like the astrology, because they're very into astrology. Like even when they tell you, oh, this is their birthday, it's really not their birthday, because they want, you know, to bestow the energies of, you know, the planets or whatever. They're like into supposedly all this, you know, witchcraft and what have you, you know, and spells and yada, yada, yada. Again, you know, who knows if it's true or not, but, you know, it's like they call them lizards. They call them, they're not really humans. There's some, that's why they like to keep their bloodline. I mean, it's, there's, like you said, it's a rabbit hole in and of itself. So, yeah.
Well, it wasn't, hasn't the King Charles now saying, he's like a descendant of like the vampire, what's his name? Ivan the horrible. What's his? Vlad the Impaler. That's it. Thank you, Disha. He's yelling out to me. I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on here? Yeah. And I was like, oh, my goodness, here we go. Yeah.
So that's Dracula?
Yes, that's right.
Huh. Interesting.
And then, yeah, they're from Romania. And also because they used to put pictures of Prince Philip, the older he got, and they would look like, he would look very Dracula, you know, and they'd be like, oh, maybe they are. Like, look at him. And how did he look so young? Did he get young because they were drinking blood? And then I was like, are you kidding? That's so funny. Like, what is, what?
It's like a movie, you know, it just, huh?
Yeah, it's like a movie. Yeah, exactly. Their real life story.
Well, yeah, I mean,
what they're doing in the news is almost like, is very entertaining. You know,
well, but you see, again, okay, so I have done quite a bit of deep diving into this stuff, and so if you go and look, watch the coronation of Elizabeth, because that was the first time they ever televised it, and they also had a bit of it in the series as well, but I also got the actual television, what they were showing you. I mean, they didn't show you the whole thing. They didn't show you all their heinous stuff that they do, you know, their symbolic ceremony or their...
No, they keep it clean.
...things. But you know, if you look at the ritual of it, it's a lot of symbolism. There's all the, you know... okay, and here's the big question, too, because, you know, they have Westminster Abbey... And then they also have Westminster Cathedral. And they're mm-hmm. two different things. So what's an abbey versus a cathedral? And the cathedral is where they let everyone else in. But the abbey is their private church, basically, or their ritual center. Who knows? But there was a very interesting... exchange between Elizabeth and her grandmother in the series, which was extremely telling, where Elizabeth was talking with the grandmother about, you know, why can't Philip be king, you know, or, you know, why can't we give him a higher title? And the grandmother was like, oh, well, he's just a carpetbagger. He's like, I mean, she was like dogging on him.
I'll have to watch it because I remember watching that.
Yes. And it was hilarious how she was just, you know, like he was dirt to her because, oh, you know, we've had they couldn't even keep their crown and, you know, Greek. And, you know, she was just dogging him the whole time. But the main thing that she said was that, or the thing that caught my eye was like, basically, she said, you haven't been given, you weren't given a government. You were given an abbey, which, you know, it was almost like likening it to like your God. You're a God, right? Because you have control over the religion. You, and that's a higher thing than the government, basically.
What is their religion? I actually thought they were Jesuits, which is
exactly.
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Somebody say they were like they were like. Oh, I don't know. I'm not even going to go there. It's just.
And there was a scene again, another scene where so they were going over when because she was remembering when she was little, and her dad was. Her dad's coronation, and he was having to practice, and he was kind of like, you know, asking her to help him and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the whole thing about where the priest anoints them, and there's like this oil that they put on their skin. And when you're anointed, that's when you become, you know, you're like, lifted up, you're like anointed, you know, like you're God, basically, you know, you're not a human anymore, you're something higher, and that's what their ceremony kind of insinuates.
Well, that kind of reminds me from the Tudors when King was it King George back then, and how he, after he married, was it the princess, one of the, she was Spanish, she had a Catholic religion, but then he wanted to be the king and God. So he made an institution out of it. That was quite interesting too.
The ring and the rod. It's an alchemical and astrological ritual. I mean, it's like you said, there is so many symbols, you know, like with the orb and the scepter, you know, because the orb is like the world, you know, that's like the globe, like you're in charge of the entire fucking globe. And then the scepter, which is like your rod, you know, like your wand, like your magic wand is the way I saw it. Like you can, you know, wave your wand and you're, you know, you get what you want. But again, you know, the whole thing about, you know, where she would have to go practically ask permission to, you know, change her hairstyle if she, you know, with the prime minister. I mean, that whole part was just like, okay, that is just bizarre to me. Is that, you know, is that, are they just trying to pretend that, or is that, you know, really a thing? But then again, if you go into after the break,
into a break, we'll find out.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
All right, keep going, Beachy.
Okay, and so this is the key part here about the financial district in London. The Lord Mayor of London is supposedly, it's not the mayor of the city of London, it's like the Lord Mayor of London is like in charge of like a small area. It's like a Vatican or a Washington DC. It's like a small institution, basically. Anyway, they said that when she would go to see those people, the Lord Mayor of London, that she would curtsy to them or him, the Lord Mayor, whereas when everybody else, you know, has to curtsy to her, like, you know, I'm sure that was also in the show about how even her sister and her grandmother and her mother had to curtsy to her when she became queen. It's like, I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
And that's a big thing though, because they have to get it
silly.
Correct as
it's
well.
So silly. Like you said, there was so many rules, like you were saying, she had to go to classes to make sure that she followed the protocols of, you know, all their rules, you know, and they took them very seriously. Like I said, it was their duty. But anyway, like I said, so she's curtsying to this Lord Mayor of London, who is the financial district, who's like the money. So, you know, there's something there. I think that, you know, there is a hierarchy. And, you know, maybe she's not as powerful, or he or she, whatever, whoever, are not as powerful. You know, it's the money that wears the pants, so to speak. But,
yeah. What was, I hope I'm not mixing it up, but Winston Churchill was he in that too? Was that part of that?
He was the prime minister when she first
became queen, wasn't she?
Became queen, yeah.
He
was the prime minister. And so he was, you know, he was almost like an uncle too, you know. He was very much in their, he was very good friends with the father, of course, and probably even the other uncle who abdicated. I mean, because he was very old. I mean, he was like in his
80s. And he was there. I mean, he was initially there too, because if I just have a look at the Queen Elizabeth II accession and the coronation, and like you were saying before, they had the coronation was at Westminster Abbey, so it's their church. And it's interesting to see the photos from the actual coronation itself, because she was she was greeted by the Prime Minister then, which was Winston Churchill, and the other officials. And then if you, there's a photo also of the Queen's mother and the grandmother, and they're all wearing black with these black head coverings and so forth. It's so bizarre. And well, I was and like, what is with the ceremony?
And
like,
the outfits.
There's different outfits. Yeah, I'm just trying to find them.
Yeah, the men wore these, like, outfits anyone that who's are on, silly.
Anyone who's on Discord, if you go on truthmeats.com, you will see it. I'll put it up in the show notes. But if not, if you guys just Google it and have a look if you are interested in having a look at the original stuff. Also from The Crown, the actual series. But if you go back and actually have a look at the real photos from the actual ceremony, it's like so bizarre. And like you were saying, it, how deep dive would you have to do for all their different what they're doing at their ceremonies? Like, it's like having a secret handshake and then some, you know?
Well, all these ropes, you know, like you see all those ropes around his military uniform, whatever. But she was, as the king or queen, you are the head of the Order of the Garter, which, you know, that's like a extremely high Freemason, you know, organization, whatever. But only the lords and, you know, get to be in that club. And the queen is the one who initiates you, or, you know, and there's like, you know, at any one time, there's less than 100 members of this, you know, esteemed organization. And, I think William obviously got initiated into it. But I don't know about the other son. I don't think so. But like you said, only certain, you know, very high up on the hog people get to be in this group. And I think those are the people that are the ones that are directing, you know, you know, maybe they're the ones who are doing the arranged marriages and, you know, given the making sure the bloodline continues. But I thought that picture was when the father died. It's like, I have a book and
it's coming up under, like, the coronation. So I'm not sure, like, it says under the current coronation, but it would be like,
because that's the grandma.
Then the mother.
Yeah. Mm. And the mother.
Yeah.
And the father. Yeah. Because I think that's when the father, because her, you know, she was coronated, I think it was like 6 months after or something like that. She couldn't be, you know, put in right away, but I don't know how they figured. They have to, again, figure the right dates for it to happen. It has to happen astrologically correct or whatever. Like, yeah. I said, these people are.
Do you mention those two sticks she had in her hand? The two staffs. You know, the staff that she had in her hand.
Oh, the orb.
When she was coronated. I will. I'll send you the photo.
The orb and the scepter. Yeah.
He needs to get on your tummy. About all this is absolutely hilarious. I'm totally useless with when it comes to the Queenie stuff. But I just found it. Who's the Archbishop was Geoffrey Fisher, the Archbishop of Canterbury. So he was the one who did the coronation. She was. Her Majesty was anointed by the Archbishop and took her oath to maintain and preserve inviolably and settlement of the Church of England and the doctrine, worship, discipline and government thereof as the law established in England. Is anyone who's supposed to know what that means? It's like, you know what we're doing about the,
like,
oath?
You said, it's like they have their own little world. It's pretty funny. Again, there's just, it's their own little club, you know, they're all very
We're all fascinated by it too. we really are, aren't we? When it comes to royal family, like it, I sometimes find it quite interesting, actually.
Well, it's, I mean, I don't kind follow of one them, of those.
Those just things, enough interest.
It, again, I think what it is because of the, like I said at the beginning, you know, it's like they're marketing for everybody. Like you should be like this. Like, you know, the reason we have a toilet, our toilets, you know, Queen Victoria made the toilet a popular thing. I mean, it's again the Victorian weddings, the whole Victorian
era.
The reason they call it Victorian is because of Victoria, because she was so into her power. She wanted everybody to bow to her. It was like full on. And her Elizabeth's grandmother, who was her I can't remember if she was her granddaughter or her daughter, but she had it in her veins. I mean, she was all about that. She, you know, at least the way they portrayed her in this, you know.
Yeah, in the series.
Series.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It's all very curious because of all their, like I said, their superstitions. And, you know, see that hat that she's got, or it's her crown. it's not a hat. Her crown weighs like, I think they said something like 30 pounds. It's like, how the frick do you put 30 pounds on your head when you're like barely five? What is she like, 5'2"? I mean, she's a very small woman.
Yeah, she wasn't very, very tall.
And
either,
she had to practice wearing that, you know,
the
thing
whole
on her
lot
head.
As well. Yeah. Do you imagine how heavy that whole thing would have been, from the crown to the cape and the dress, everything?
Yep. And she had to hold those two things in her hand. And, oh, it's very serious. It's very serious stuff. Too funny.
Yeah, but I like how the series sort of still, in the very first part, tried to portray her more, more Queen Elizabeth, the personality of the actual Elizabeth rather than the Queen, because she was Queen first, like duty came first after she became Queen.
Yeah, yes.
Everything else was second to that, including her husband and her children. So, yeah. It was always said to her that was going to be a thing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a huge ego trip when you think about it, because it's like, but yet she murdered her own personal person, or, you know, her authentic self was like nowhere to be found. And
I think for those people, they're not them anymore, you know, and I think once you become part of that, you lose that. And maybe. Diana was trying not to lose that. She was trying to keep that real for herself and for her children, because she really cared, maybe, you know. But who knows? And what about them now? What's happened to the generation now of them, you know?
Well, Diana used to say that they were lizards. I was like, okay, well, what about you? Like,
Was she the only real one? Yeah, who knows? But, like, what's going on with them trying to be, you know, I mean, the princess had the cancer and then the king had cancer. Are they trying to be more normal? Is this their way of sort of normalizing and really trying to gel with people and saying, oh, you know, even royalty and even royal people will get sick and have cancer and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting to me that, you know, like you said, Kate, you know, they were like making it sound like she was a goner and then nothing. And then now, you know, she's like It's,
yeah, what did she have back. Exactly? Because she's still got her long hair. She's still mega skinny. It's not like she looked terrible throughout the whole thing. Like, she disappeared and then she came back. It's like, does she have, like, a doppelganger? Like, it's, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing changed. Like, she still looked the same. Her hair got bigger. D-Train's actually got a wig. But, yeah, it's like, well, I don't know. I mean, and then... her fashion styles, because she recycles fashion as well. So it's like, oh, she wore this dress for this dress, this occasion, and then, oh, look, she's wearing it again. Oh, isn't it great that she recycles? I'm like, oh, crying out loud.
How could she?
Yeah. How could dare she? I mean, one day she's wearing an Alexander McQueen dress for, you know, $3,500 and then some, and then... And then the next day she's wearing a $27 dress from Zara. Like, please. Really?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like you said, okay, so here's some more things that they were always talking about, how, you know, that they weren't getting enough money to maintain their palaces and blah, blah, blah. But it was like in the series, it was hilarious because there was a couple of episodes where, you know, like they'd be sitting in their living room and then you'd see like a rat running across the floor. And you're like,
ew.
Okay, what's that about? And, you know, it's not like, you know, continuity. I mean, you know, if you're in a set, you know, maybe the set, a rat got in the set, wouldn't you like take that out? Wouldn't they edit that out as far as, you know, if you're creating a piece?
Yeah, a series.
Or did they want that in there? Or was that part of their story? Like, okay, like they got rats running around.
You did say if there were lizard people. I mean, you kind of need some rats, you know. It could have been lunch running away.
A quick snack. Yes. Well, yeah. Exactly. But, you know, she, there was another part where a very interesting, and I don't know if you ever heard about it. This was something I think happened. I can't remember if it was 70s or the 80s, but I don't remember this necessarily. But it was in the news where apparently this guy managed to break into the queen's bedroom. You know, like he managed to scurry up the side of the, you know, I don't know how he got in. They said he like climbed up the side of the and jumped in the window.
He was the rat like that morphed.
It's like, how does he get past? I mean, what were the dudes in the fluffy hats? I mean, it's like, aren't they supposed to be like, you know, watching
the guy in the fluffy hats? Like, how, we don't even know who they are. Like, seriously, come on. The Queen's Guard. Yeah, where are you guys? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so she wakes up, you know, in the morning and, you know, of course, she's in her bed and this guy's in her room and he, like, opens the curtains to wake her up and she's, like, you know, remaining calm. But, again, here's my thought was, like, okay, Prince Philip, where the frick was he? I mean... It's like, okay, I know, I get it. They have separate bedrooms and all, but supposedly he's like right through those doors, you know, like she doesn't have any way to. But I think what they were telling you, though, that he was not there because, you know, he was always gone. There was, you know, who knows where he was at. But and they even had a scene where he was apologizing to her that he wasn't there.
Yeah.
But anyway, right.
Yeah, let's have a look here. Let's go back because I don't remember this one, but the Buckingham Palace intruder was Michael Fagan.
Yes, Fagan.
He was a 31-year-old painter who made his way to the Queen's bedroom and it was one of the biggest royal security breaches in the 20th century. So, yes, and it does say the outrageous episodes also feature in season 4 of The Crown. Okay, so it's in season 4. I didn't get up to season 4. So,
well, and what? Here's the funniest The funniest part was, though, like you said, in relation to the rat, he's like, he's, you know, he went into the bathroom because he broke a glass and she told him, oh, you know, you can, and he cut himself. So she told him he could go in there and, you know, wash it, his blood off or whatever. And he comes out and he's like, okay, I'm a painter, you know, and I can do handiwork. Your bathroom needs some work. He was telling her.
Oh, yeah.
Her bathroom was looking a bit grody. I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious. That was the best. But again,
I'm going to watch that one. But so it happened in 1982. So the Queen was in 56. So it said it was at 6:45 a.m. on the 9th of July, 1982, 31-year-old painter and decorator Michael Fagan scaled one of Buckingham Palace's 14-foot perimeter walls, precariously navigated his barbed wire and spiked crown, dropped quietly and unnoticed into the palace grounds and tried to unsuccessfully to access the wider palace through the ground floor window. So, and like you were saying, he's shinning up the drain pipe. And then he was confessed to having several glasses of whiskey before enacting the odious stunt. He removed his socks and sandals before entering the palace through the unlocked window. Yeah.
And what was the point of that?
The socks, because you had respect for the Queen.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation,
or your preoccupation,
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Truthmeets.com, you're on Coast to Coast with Beach and Verilicious. We were just sort of discussing the crown, intertwining it with the actual real events that happen, events for the royal family, especially Queen Elizabeth. But let's go back to this Michael Fagan. What a crack up. Please remove your shoes and socks before entering the Queen's bedroom. The Queen asked, what are you doing here? Before summoning help via the emergency buzzer. So she had an emergency buzzer. But it said that they had a 10-minute conversation. Like,
right. Yeah.
So it's like, what? I wouldn't still have it. And how was this guy? That is so funny. Absolutely funny. I'm just trying find out whether there's any other.
It's like they were just having this little, you know, because
he was a cuckoo as well, like cuckoo
well,
for cocoa.
Here's the thing, what the story was that, okay, so he was divorced and his wife wouldn't let him see his kids, and he got thrown out of his apartment because, I don't know, he wasn't working enough or something. And, you know, he was just very frustrated that his life was going to shit. And he went to the, you know, I don't know, get unemployment or get some sort of, help from the government, I guess, some sort of, welfare. And they said, well, you can't because, because the apartment, yeah, because he got kicked out of the apartment because it was in his wife's name and he couldn't, she would have had to do something in order to let him stay there. So I don't know. It was like just some horrendous divorce story that, you know, she was.
Yeah, he had some weird story.
And so he was telling the Queen about it and saying, you know, you know, can you help me fix this situation? I'd like to see my children. And, you know, he was just kind of trying to get some going to the top to, like, hey, you know, do something for your subject or whatever. So
it was really funny.
That was his, yeah.
Yeah, but History Extra, if you have a look through History Extra, right, it is absolutely hilarious because it says his motivation for his break-in was as vague as some of the events that morning, right? He was unemployed father of four, He variously blamed the influence of alcohol as well as magic mushrooms that he had like 5 months earlier, and the after effects of which he claimed had severely impacted his mental state. So he was, yeah, obviously had he was not a stranger to the local authorities. But he blamed his encounter with the Queen on the disintegration of his marriage and subsequent mental breakdown. His wife, Christine, had left him just weeks earlier, and he had the misguided idea that the monarch could help him. So he was saying to his wife that he had a girlfriend and her name was Elizabeth Regina, who had four children who was older than him. And they're like, what? No. And then when he actually broke into the to go and see the Queen, he just he actually gave a he had his 15 minutes of fame sort of thing. But he said, the Queen to me represented all that was keeping me down and my lack of voice. I just wanted her to know what it feels like just to be an ordinary chap to try and make ends meet. Okay, you're a nutcase. Like, you want to break in, you want to break into the Queen's bedroom and just tell her that after telling everyone the Queen was also your girlfriend? What?
Well, you know, maybe she was a cougar. Maybe they had some sort of, you know, I mean, come on. How does a
she
guy
winked at him one time, you know?
I mean, how does a guy get, you know, what did you say? He climbed over the barbed wire.
Yeah,
or whatever,
and all that. Yes,
and then he had to take off his shoes. Why did he have to take off his shoes? I mean, that's
a mistake for going into her bedroom. Oh dear, that's so funny. There's an artist's impression on this history extra of the exchange between Queen Elizabeth and Michael Fagan. There is a photo of the guy as well. Let's see if I can maybe put it up on our chat, but oh, that's hilarious. Oh, now I've got to get to like season four to watch that part.
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's hilarious. Well, here's another thing that was fun about the series, and this is not about the Queen at all. It was Gillian Anderson. She played Thatcher, and it was like, oh my God, that was just so funny to me.
Yes, she did too. The Iron Lady.
She played the Prime Minister, and she was just that character. I mean, I you know, I didn't know anything about her beforehand, and you know, I'd always heard her name, but I, you know, I had no idea what, you know, anything about it. And so it was very interesting. But like I said, that was surprising, you know, because, you know, Thatcher's, you know, supposedly some old, you know, bitchy lady, and you know, Gillian Anderson, she's, you know,
she was the Iron Lady,
you know. Yeah,
they called her the Iron Lady.
Yeah. And but you know, she did a good job as far as acting and all, but still the character, I don't know, just the way she spoke, she totally was not Mulder.
No, exactly, because like we remember her because
so she did a good job.
X-Files. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
For her to play the Iron Lady,
That was a big crossover for her. I mean, she wasn't playing anything close to, you know, her X-Files character, but yeah, the you know, that was an interesting portrayal of that woman.
Yeah. No, it was, I thought it was good because it was John Lithgow that played Winston Churchill, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. It was quite interesting, like all the different characters and who were playing all the different characters as well. Yeah. But, yeah. No, I kind of enjoyed it. I did like the Diana one, the series, that movie, telling movie. And that was the one with Naomi Watts. Which I thought she did a good job as well. But I didn't realize that Diana had like so many lovers, like after Charles. I mean, I knew about the polo, what's his name? The one that everyone thinks that Harry is his son. But, and then yeah. Dodie was the other one. I didn't realize she had so many others in between. Go Diana.
Well, everybody loved her. I mean, I'm sure she didn't have a, but it was the way they made it sound again in the series that, cause she, she met this doctor, like you were saying about the doctor, and he was
she met a doctor. Yeah, that's right.
And she was, she was like trying to have a relationship with him, and he was just like, oh my God, I can't be with you. You're the friggin' queen, you know? I mean,
the princess, like,
totally intimidated by her. And he was, you know, thinking, yeah, you know, I, and rightly so, because, you know, he was like, I could get killed for this. You know, I don't even want to, he didn't even want to kiss her. You know, she was trying to like get this romance going. And he was just like, I don't want my career gone. I don't want, you know, to be, you know, in the newspapers. I just don't, you know, he just was not, it was too much for him. I thought that was hilarious, but it was kind of sad that, you know, she was trying to get him to.
Oh, yeah. He was a heart and lung surgeon. His name was Dr. Hasnat Khan, British Pakistani. Diana referred to him as Mr. Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then, but in the show, she was so obsessed with him, and then she was wearing different wigs and that to meet up with him. Like she would go, she would have like a brown, I think she changed her, she had like a brown wig she used to wear. But then they eventually got caught, and then they were hassling him as well. And then he had to sort of really break it up. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you know, he was not up for the,
2 years they dated. 2 years.
Right. Well, but, you know, and that was the thing, is that even with, what's his name, Dodi, you know, at least the way they portrayed it in the series, like, neither one of them was really into each other. It was more the dad was pushing the son to, you know, see, close the deal, so to speak. He wanted them to get married because that somehow would raise his station in life. And Diana wasn't, you know, and she was not looking to get married to anybody. And he, that guy was, or he was just ready to marry this other woman. You know, they were engaged. And of course, all the stories started coming out about him and Diana. And so the fiance, you know, she was like, you know, what the hell, you know? So they broke up. And so, like you said, it was like, you know, neither one of them were really, you know, into the, you know, like, remember, I don't know about you, but I, all I heard was, oh, they're getting married, that she's pregnant. They're just so
in love. Oh, yes. Everybody heard that too. Yes, that is correct, that she was pregnant. And then I think there was some big drama because they didn't want her to embrace Islamic faith or something. I don't know. There was so much like in the media about all of it. And then next thing you know, boom, like she's gone. Like she was in an accident and everyone, like there was so much, there was so much scandal. And then all of a sudden they're both gone, like in a car accident. That's it. Just finished. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Dodi was a, well, he's Egyptian, but he was a movie producer. So, but, entangled relationship with Diana, the Princess of Wales.
Well, and yeah, there's, like you said, there's even still lots of rumors and intrigue about, you know, what really happened and who did what to whom. But again, gossipy things that I've heard recently about Camilla, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but the story was that William found out that Camilla had like all these letters that were Diana's letters to people about how she was afraid somebody was going to kill her. And, you know, I don't know, maybe letters to other of her boyfriends or friends or whatever, but that Camilla had them somehow. She had gotten a hold of them and she was hiding them, and William found out and he was trying to get them from her, and something about, you know, he opened a trunk and there was a bunch of letters in there. So, you know, that's like present day stuff. And, you know, supposedly in the letters were how Camilla plotted the death, you know, the accident or whatever. And again, you know, who knows? Is it true? I don't know. It might make a good, another good movie. Who knows?
I always like doing that. But because her relationship with the king was, what year? Let me have a look. 1981 to 1996 was her affair with Charles. And he was actually married to Diana then.
Well, yeah, and then according to the the series, that she got divorced from her husband after the tampon story. Remember that disgusting thing about that was in all the rags? Something about he wished he was a tampon, so her tampon or something like that.
Ew.
Something gross. And yeah. So that came out. I know. It came out in the newspaper. But, you know, again, in the series, it showed. So they would show Camilla at her house with her husband and the kids and the family at Christmas time or, you know, whatever. And the phone would ring and the husband would answer it. And it's Charles calling for Camilla. And he would give the phone to Camilla and she would go in the bedroom and talk to him. And, you know, that was like, you know, their Friday night or whatever. It's just very, you know, it was all in the family, right? And then, of course, this horrid story comes out because apparently somebody was tapping the phone lines. And so they're having their little, you know, conversations in the bedroom and somebody got that and taped it. And then put it out, you know, out there. And so then that's when the husband said, okay, that's it. We're getting divorced. Because, you know, again, humiliation, public humiliation. That's,
yeah.
You know,
well, her husband was actually dating Princess Anne before he married Camilla. Right. Okay. So, yeah, it's so intertwined. Oh, my goodness. The tampon gate or Camilla gate.
Yeah.
refers to the controversy over the 1989 intimate telephone conversation between Charles and then lover Camilla. It was published in the tabloid press in 1993. It wasn't even that long ago, really, when you think about it. The tape immediately damaged Charles's public image, and the media vilified Parker Bowles for the breakdown of his marriage to Diana. Yeah. That's hilarious. That's so funny. But did you hear there was another story that was going around in Australia for a while, right? And it kept coming up on my newsfeed for so long. And I think it was about the time when all these series, these things about the royal family and the Crown series and everything was on. But there was a guy that actually claimed here in Australia that he was Charles and Camilla's son. Real, like, yeah. I was like, how do you end up in Australia?
Yeah. Exactly.
But there was a full story. I forget what his name is, Simon something. But Simon says, but it was a full, like he gave the full story because he was like raised around the palace area and all that kind of stuff. But his mum was one of the maid servants or something like that. And then his grandmother, his so-called grandmother took him and I don't know. And I don't know if that story is still going. Let me find out. Let me see if there was anything to it. But he tried to contact the king in regards to it. And it was in the thing for such a long time. And I was like, mate, you have to give it up because it's not going to happen.
Again,
and then he was
though,
putting pictures of him and then like of, you know, of William and all that, like his half brothers and sisters, just to say that, don't you see the resemblance and all that kind of stuff? I was like, oh my God, please. let me have a look if I can find like that story.
Said, you know, it could be true. And, you know, it's like, again, I don't know how they would. You know, just like you said with Harry, you know, they were constantly, you know, talking about that, and everybody almost accepted it as a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Truthmeets.com, beachy and verilicious. Coast to coast, we are on the crown.
Well, and here's, talking about the crown. Here's the final
stake in
whatever.
The coffin.
Well, actually, there's a couple of things, but... so here's another strange story that has come out recently, and actually I think it came out before, but I never really paid attention to it. But there's a guy who is claiming that he is actually a bloodline in the king line or something, or he's the original king. You know, and all those people that are there are kind of, you know, imposters, or they took over the lineage. Because, okay, so he says he's in the, I guess, whatever, before the Windsors came in, and I have like all these books that go back to all their descendants or ascendants or whatever. You know, there was a break in the line. And like I said, it was, you know, Scottish, English, and then it went into German. The Germans kind of came, the German line came in. I think it was like another Edward. But anyway, the point is, though, that at some point, this present day guy is saying that at the break, what happened was, and the Germans that came in were actually, he said they were Rothschilds. And the thing was that the, you know, the English king needed money, and the Rothschilds said, sure, we'll give you, you know, all kinds of money, but you'll, you know, let us intermarry or, you know, get into the bloodline, basically. So they started, you know, intermingling, and supposedly Winston Churchill was in there on that. I don't know how he works into that, but again, this is like high conspiracy theory. I don't know if it's true, but this is what this guy is saying. So his thing, but the bottom line is that, so they had this deal that they would get to intermarry, and thus, you know, it tainted the bloodline. And but the deal was that it was going to expire in 2017. And so, like, you know, this was happening, you know, this was created or supposedly started back in the, you know, I don't know, maybe the 1800s or pre-Albert, I think, or Victoria, sorry. Victoria's husband was also named Albert. But anyway, so all that supposedly was supposed to, you know, the deal was done 2017. And so that was kind of the end of their reign. So, I mean, and there's so much going on right now where, like, they closed down Buckingham Palace and it's like just nobody's there anymore. They locked it up. It's like a ghost town. And, you know, there's some things like when Trump went to visit with the king recently, there was some protocol supposedly that wasn't followed, and it kind of looked like the king was not really the king anymore.
Yeah.
Just a lot of weird stuff. So who knows? Like I said, I think I personally think the real power is the money. It's not even the guys who are playing the roles.
Rothschild is money.
Yeah.
I mean, they're barons and lords and all that kind of stuff. But they are the money. They're the bank. So
yeah,
maybe it's their bank. So I'll just finish off just with that last bit about that Charles and Camilla, the love child drops a DNA bombshell. It had to be a Queensland man, Beachy. Seriously, come on. So so this guy's name was Simon Charles Durant Day, and he claims he was conceived in 1965 by 17-year-old Charles and 18-year-old Camilla long before they began their affair. But nothing has been, like, confirmed. He wanted to go. He planned to take DNA, you know, the test and everything, but he couldn't get, like, where's he going to get the royal DNA? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. How is it that doing? These guys cannot? I mean, they're all got the same DNA, right? They're all related. They're all, you know, why can't they grab something from aunt or uncle, whoever? It's like,
yeah,
it's not exactly. Like it's rare,
yeah.
Right?
And even if was like a scandal or whatever, what do you want to do though? Do you know what I mean? Like, what do you want to do about it? So it's not like you're part of it.
Well, like, yeah, if you're not recognized by the lizard, the top lizard has to recognize you. So it's like, here's another thing that they say. Her name isn't Elizabeth. Her name is a lizard named Beth.
Oh. that's so funny. Find the perfect sound for that one. Let me see. Yay.
Now we're going to have to come up with a good song.
Yes.
Maybe a Queen song.
Maybe a Queen song, yes. We do love Queen. Yeah. The other Queen. And there's quite a lot of those. But anyway, that was we had a good actually a good series. I actually think that Crown. It's really funny because when you sort of intertwine that whole series plus what was happening in the media, and you could like, I remember when that happened, or I don't remember that. When did that, you know, when did that story come through? But there's always something interesting about the royals. Yes. And the king and his chubby fingers and all that kind of stuff. So, I didn't even click with the Camilla Gate or Tampon Gate. Why do I always have to call it a gate? Anyway.
I don't know. It's somehow.
I think they just try to make it sound interesting. Anyway. All right. Well, that's it for another day. Midweek catch up, Beachy. I'll be back next week, I think. Oh, I think I've got some time off next week.
So, you'll have your weekend getaway.
Yes. Yeah.
Some rest and relaxation.
Well, this weekend is going to be fantastic. It is going to be 30s in the 30s. So it's going to be hot here. But I think we're going to be met with some thunderstorms and storms afterwards. So we're just going to make the most of it, I think. So it was a good weekend to pick. But, and then after next week, maybe not even 2 weeks, we'll have the Groundwater Festival. So we'll try and figure something out.
I
want to go and do a bit of square dancing.
Yeah, and I have a trip that weekend too. The last weekend in October, I will be gone too. So,
there'll be lots for us to catch up on. But I'll see if we can see what we can hook up. Maybe we can do something live.
I will be gone. Let's see, the 23rd through the 27th or 28th. I'm not sure, Jinx, when we're getting back from there. So that week will be just before Halloween.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Hey, everyone's planning holidays just before the actual end of the year. There's heaps of people planning holidays.
Yeah.
But, I think everyone's making the most of it before it all comes to end, I suppose.
Before the shit hits the fan.
I don't know what shit that may be.
They keep threatening something horrible's gonna happen. I don't know what that would be, but it's like, okay, you can't just stop living. You gotta keep your plans going.
Everyone's gotta keep living. Exactly. Everyone keeps living. It's fun. We all have a bit of fun. Go and watch a bit of The Crown. Go and enjoy yourself. If you want to know a little bit about some of the royal family, truth or not, it doesn't matter. It's all entertainment, and we have a bit of a laugh with it. But Beachy, until next show, I will catch up with you then. Everyone, enjoy your day, night, evening, afternoon, whatever it is that you're doing. Beachy and I will catch you next time on Coast to Coast, truthmeets.com. And until then, have a great one. See you later.
Next time.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Let them be cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building, a remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. At a time, an invitation you can't decline. Caviar and cigarettes, well-versed in etiquette. Extraordinarily nice. She's a killer queen. She never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Little man from China went down to Geisha Mada. Then again, incidentally, she was that way inclined. Both of you came naturally from Paris. Naturally. Forgot she couldn't care less. Fastidious and precise. She's a killer queen. Gunpowder gelatine. Dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind. Temporarily out of action, temporarily out of action.